Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our hearts for His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we believe that You're alive and our hearts are free through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are forever and forever and forever grateful. Lord, thank You for stepping into each one of our lives, for making it possible, Lord, for us to hear the good news of the gospel, for us to understand what that means, have the faith to not only believe, but surrender our lives to You. Father, I pray that You would have Your way in us this morning as we contemplate, meditate on Your Word this morning, as we think about how grateful we should be, as we think about what You've done for us and what that means for our lives, not just here, but for eternity. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would have Your way in each one of us, Lord, and You would be glorified through our response. Our response of love, which means our response of obedience. Be with us as we study Your Word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we live in a day and age where our culture at its core is ungrateful. Our culture has led us to be self-absorbed. It's all about me. For many, the word I is woven into almost every sentence of their conversations. Our culture trains us to be inwardly focused when it comes to our experience with the rest of the world. We are blinded to anything out of our own small context of life. Therefore, our perspective on life and its hardships can be very limited, even very distorted. We're going to look at a story today that Jesus taught about gratitude toward God, a story that highlights the difference between physical healing and spiritual healing. Every year, we come to this season of Thanksgiving. And every year, we are reminded that we should be more grateful. But should Thanksgiving be compressed into a short week or a day of the year? Shouldn't thankfulness be ingrained into our nature? Shouldn't it be something that we express toward God every single day? Maybe we don't realize how blessed we are. Maybe we haven't looked beyond our own context into someone else's life. Maybe we haven't traveled to another country and saw what life is like outside of our nation. Maybe we're so wrapped up in our own lives that we can't possibly have the right perspective that would enable us to be more grateful. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Because ungrateful leads to discontentment, to an insatiable desire for more. Ungratefulness leads to being unsatisfied with what you have or where you are in life. But if we were to look into the lives of those who live with a fraction of what we have, those who still live in bondage and maybe persecution for their faith, we would have a change of heart. A change of perspective that would greatly affect our attitude of thanksgiving. And so as we look at this story today, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17. And we're going to first look at verses 11 through 13. The first thing I want us to learn here is Jesus is your only hope. If we're going to gain any perspective in the way of gratefulness or thankfulness, we've got to first know that Jesus is our only hope. Look there at verse 11 through 13. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now in this story, Jesus is traveling on his way to Jerusalem. He's passing between Samaria and Galilee, between two peoples, the Jews and the Samaritans. Two peoples that didn't get along with each other at all. Samaritans were partially Jewish from the northern kingdom of Israel. They had married and lived with other nations. Therefore, in practice, Jews treated the Samaritans as Gentiles. There was severe prejudice between them. All marriages between them were forbidden. Their relationships were greatly restricted. I mean, Jesus also recognized the Samaritans as foreigners, but he did not hesitate to share with them. He broke down the barrier between them with the message of the kingdom. If you remember the woman at the well, or when the Samaritan people came out to meet him and hear the good news. So here are 10 men who were unclean. 10 men who had the disease called leprosy. 10 men who were dying. 10 men who no one else would dare to even go near. If we look at the Old Testament law in Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, Moses gave instructions for those with leprosy. Listen to what he said. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and he shall cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So here we are, these 10 men, they're living by themselves outside the city, unable to live and have community with the rest of the population. I mean, we've had to quarantine some. Maybe we've had to wear our mask. But I don't think we've ever can quite grasp what these people went through. They're outside the city. They're outside. They're cast out from the rest of the population. You know, this reminds me of another group of people in India. We call the untouchables. They are the lowest in the caste system. Now, the caste system is a class structure that is determined by birth. And there's no way to get out of it. What you're born into is what you are. It cannot be changed. Your name says it all. In society's eyes, the untouchables are pretty much good for nothing. If you can imagine a people being good for nothing. Probably much like these lepers. The untouchables are not able to have town water run to their house because the water lines cannot run to their homes and the rest of the population. They cannot ride a public bus like everyone. When they go to a shop for tea or food, they're given disposable cups and plates because if they use that cup or plate, it could not be used by anyone else. Many places are not served at all. It is said that it's bad for their shadow to fall on you. Can you imagine that kind of discrimination? See, it's not a disease that separates them. It's just that they were born as untouchables. And they're not alone in this bondage either. There are numerous types of caste in many places around the world. People living in a place under a name in bondage to one particular low-paying job. They live in fear. They live in poverty. And there's no way out and there's no way up. Can you imagine living like that? Yet here we are. Here we are, born into a nation of freedom. A nation that offers help and opportunities to go beyond whatever circumstances you may find yourself born into. You have nothing to do with it. It was by God's grace that you were born here in this nation. Just as the untouchables, there was no hope for these lepers. There's no hope for them. But this also then reminds me of all of us. Every single human being on this planet is born with a disease called sin. And although we are accepted by the world because we all have it, just like these lepers, they were without hope. Just like the untouchables. There was no way for these lepers to heal their disease. There's no way for the untouchables to escape their disease. There's nothing they can do. Just like us, there's nothing we can do to rid ourselves of our sin that brings about eternal judgment of death on us. Nothing we can do in our own strength. But on this day, in this story, there was hope for these lepers. Jesus, the Creator and Savior of the world, he came walking by, passing by them. And in the midst, there was hope for healing and for life. Jesus was the only hope for his lepers. He's the only hope for the untouchables. He's the only hope for you and I today. Jesus is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. That means no one gets to heaven except through Jesus Christ. He's the one mediator between God and mankind. All those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We studied about that this morning in Sunday school. Now the lepers, they recognized who Jesus was. They called on him, Master. Listen to what they said. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. The word Master here means chief commander. They knew Jesus was totally in command of even disease and death, and they trusted him to help them. They recognized that he was their only hope. Have you come to that place in your life where you've recognized that Jesus is your only hope? We're not in the place of the lepers. We're not in the place of the untouchables. But in this world, there is no other hope for you. No other hope for the forgiveness of your sin but through Christ. God loved us so much that he came himself to pay the punishment for our sin. Isn't this remarkable? What a miracle. Jesus came as a baby, born of a virgin through the power of the Holy Spirit. He lived a perfect life without sin. He was betrayed by his own people. He was handed over to the Romans for crucifixion. Jesus allowed them to nail him. He allowed them to nail him to that cross because he knew it was the only way. It was the only way. He was the only one who could pay the price for our sin. And so on that cross, he took our place, he took our sin, he took our judgment on himself, and he died. He was the perfect blood sacrifice for all the sins of the world. The punishment was death, and he paid for it in full. But the remarkable thing is that 3 days later, he rose from the grave. He defeated sin and its punishment of death, and he lives today to offer all people forgiveness of sin, eternal life. He is your only hope. But you must believe that who he is and what he did for you on the cross. You must believe that he rose from the grave. You must repent and turn away from your old life, for you're in control and you're master, and you turn to him and you surrender your life to him. He's now master of your life. It's no longer my way, it is his way. I no longer live by my own terms, I live by God's terms that are clearly laid out for us in his word. We confess him. He's now Lord of our lives. He's master of our life. As a child of God, is he your master? Do you live by his terms or your own terms? He is our hope in life and everything else we may face while living on this earth. He's our only hope during trials. He's our only hope during unforeseen circumstances, during all hardships. He is our only hope during this pandemic. Don't look to anyone else. Look to God for help. The lepers recognized that Jesus was their only hope. But not all of them were grateful. And the second thing I want us to learn here is Jesus deserves a grateful heart. Jesus deserves a grateful heart. Look there at verse 14 through 16. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell at his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And now he was a Samaritan. Here are 10 of the lepers. All 10 of the lepers recognized Jesus as their hope. Therefore, they listened to him, they obeyed what he said, and as they obeyed and they followed the instruction that he gave, they were healed. They all trusted that Jesus had the power to heal them, so they obeyed the command to go to the priest. It would be an act of faith to go and seek cleansing from the priest in order to be healed. So as they were in faith, they were all healed. Miraculously, the leprosy was gone. But only one of the 10 returned to give thanks to Jesus. One of them, who happened to be a Samaritan, turned back to thank Jesus. He falls not only at the feet of a Jew, but at the one who healed him, his only hope. He fell at Jesus' feet and thanked him for healing him. We see a similar response with Peter. If you remember when Peter was on the boat and Jesus just made him have a miraculous catch of fish, And when Peter saw it, he fell down and called Jesus Master, because he was so overwhelmed with thanksgiving toward God for what he had done. He recognized who Jesus was. He recognized what he had done. He recognized what this meant for his life. And so he falls at his feet and thanks him. Are you truly grateful for what God has done for you? Do you call him Master? Do you realize who it is that you say you serve? Do you realize that he truly provides all you need? Everything you have. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. He is Savior and Judge of the world. He is your only hope for life. For those of you who were condemned by the disease of sin, Jesus came into your life. He offered you forgiveness and healing. He offered you life and you received it. Do you realize or think about or contemplate what has happened to you? Because if we really think about that, maybe in Sunday school, when you went through the Romans Road, you thought about what's happened. You contemplated your salvation, that you were picked up out of hell and given eternity in heaven. That your destination, your eternal destination, was no longer hell, it was now heaven. Out of God's grace, he stepped into your life. See, the Samaritan understood the gravity of what Jesus had done for him. He understood that his whole life had just changed before him and took a new direction. He understood that he had now been made whole, healed of a disease that would surely kill him. You understand the gravity of what Jesus did for you on the cross. And if you do, shouldn't thanksgiving to him be on our lips every single day? Every day that we awake, that he gives us life to live another day, that should be a reminder of the eternal life that he has given us. We should be overwhelmed with gratefulness and thanksgiving. He died in your place. He removed from you the wrath of God. He took that on himself. You are now set free, as we just sang about. Sin no longer has a hold on you. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're a child of God. How grateful should we be? How thankful should we be? Not only for salvation, but what about all the other blessings that he's given us? We should be the most grateful people on the planet. Should we ever truly utter a complaint? Why are we born in this nation? Why are we not born as an untouchable? It's by God's grace. And with much given, much is expected. Unless you have traveled and lived in other countries around the world, really, I don't think we have an idea of how blessed we are to live in this nation. You have no idea, the myriad of things we just take for granted just because we live here. Could be the most common thing that we have, and we just don't notice it. We've never thought about giving thanks to God for it. Do you give thanks every time you turn on the faucet and water comes out? Do you give thanks every time you flip the light switch and the lights come on? Do you give thanks every time you get in your vehicle and you're able to drive to the store, or you're able to drive to work, or you're able to come to church? Do you give thanks that you can sit here in the church and not be persecuted for it? Do you give thanks that you don't have to wear the same outfit all week? Do you give thanks that you get to choose what you want to eat each day? Do you give thanks that you have a refrigerator to put food in? Do you give thanks that you can go to the doctor when you're sick and you can actually get medicine that works? If you make $40,000, if you make $40,000, you are in the top 10% of the richest in the world. That means 90% of the world is poorer than you. Just $40,000. What a perspective. We can be so quick, so judgmental of others, and have no compassion for other people because we don't understand them. We have all that we need, and from our perspective, we can't understand what it's like to really, truly be poor and destitute, or trapped under a governmental system of persecution, or to live without the most basic things in life. If only we could walk a day or two in another person's shoes, how would it change our perspective? In Colossians 1:12, it states that we should be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Wow. Thank Him for saving you, giving you eternal life. Thank Him for all the many blessings you have. Thank Him for giving you victory. 2 Corinthians 2:14 states, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere." 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." How thankful should we be? How often, how many things have we forgotten or taken for granted that we should give Him thanks for? We should be a grateful people. Truly a grateful people. The last thing I want us to learn here is Jesus desires thanksgiving and praise from you. He desires thanksgiving and praise from you and I. Listen to this. 17 through 19. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And He said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Do you hear the sadness in Jesus' words? Where are the 9? He had healed all 10 of them from a disease that would bring them certain death. He wanted to give them more than just physical healing. He wanted to give them spiritual healing. Jesus rebukes the other 9 who, it seems to be, they seem to be Jews, for not returning. He rebukes them for not returning and thanking Him. Does Jesus not deserve to be thanked and praised for doing something that no one else can do? Does our Savior not deserve our praise and thanksgiving? Of course He does. He is being praised. Whether we are or not, He's being praised every single day, every moment of every single day in heaven. Shouldn't we join in as well? He then tells this foreigner, the Samaritan, He says, that his faith has made him well. You see, by returning and coming back to Jesus, this Samaritan man received something greater than physical healing. He was also saved from his sins. The literal translation of what Jesus said is, "Your faith has saved you." Your faith has saved you. This is what Jesus wanted to give all of these men, all 10 of them. But only one turned back to thank Him. Only one was truly grateful. Physical healing is a blessing, but it still ends in death. Eternal life lasts forever. In fact, the greatest miracle of all on this planet is salvation. Nothing is greater than a person being saved from eternal hell. Nothing. Many people these days want to see a physical miracle. Physical miracles may be lifted up as the greatest thing, but eventually you still die. I've seen people in other places come to church through healings, and they call themselves Christians, but at no point did they take the next step and surrender their lives to Christ. Call Him Master. So when many of them get sick again or something else happens, they leave the church because the only thing they sought was temporary healing. We see this in Jesus' day as well. We see that these 9 Jewish men who were healed were satisfied with just physical healing. And we want to realize that physical healing, the healing of God in someone's life, it's a miraculous thing. Yet we forget the most important thing, that they need to hear the gospel. Because it's most important that they be saved from their sin rather than being saved from their sickness. God gave this healing to them so that they might receive salvation, so that they might know who He is and what He was offering them. The truth that God's teaching us here is that one may experience God's work of grace in their life and yet fall short of receiving salvation. How scary is that? These other 9 guys, I'm sure they were glad that they were healed. They probably went home and they told their families and many of their friends and never thought to thank the one who actually healed them. They didn't truly recognize their greatest need. Their need for salvation from sin. This lack of gratitude by the non-Jewish men was a typical response of the rejection that the Jewish nation had toward Jesus. Jesus was their king. He was Savior, but the nation didn't respond to Jesus that way. They only accepted the things Jesus could give them, like healing or how he fed them. Jesus, just think about this. All the prophecy had foretold the coming of the Messiah, and here he was, the Savior of the world, and they rejected him. However, this man outside the nation, this Samaritan man, responded to Jesus in the right way. We see it all throughout Acts and the New Testament. The rejection of the Jews and the great response by the Gentiles. How familiar that sounds when I think about the response that America has to Christ compared to those outside of our nation who come to an understanding of who Jesus is, who are truly grateful for the salvation he's given them, who are truly committed to following after him. And we might think, well, I can't believe those other nine guys. They were just given a new start on life, and they can't even thank God for what he did. What an ungrateful bunch of people. Before we get too critical, how often do we turn back and thank the Lord for what he has done in our lives? How often do we keep on going, totally missing out on something great that God has done in our lives? We just miss it. We just focus on the blessing and keep on walking. It could be something that we normally have, and then we forget that God is ultimately our provider. Ephesians 5:20, it states that we should be giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not say sometimes and some things. It says, always and in everything, give thanks to God. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So in good or bad circumstances, always and in everything, it is God's will for us, his children, to give thanks to him. Always and in everything. All circumstances. He not only deserves it, but he desires our praise and thanksgiving. God desires our praise and thanksgiving. He wants you to be thankful, grateful for what he's done for you. He's your heavenly Father looking at his child that he has adopted, you and I. And he's given you everything. And so much more that you can't even possibly, no eye is seen, no ear is heard, no mind can contemplate the things that God has for those who love him. You can't imagine. He wants us to be thankful. We should be the most thankful people on this planet. How great a testimony would be if the world saw us praise God and thank him for all things. We would stand out because that's not the way of the world. People, look around you. People are constantly complaining. People are always dissatisfied. People are always discontent. They're always wanting more and more and more. How great a testimony would it be if we were thanking God in all circumstances, always and in everything, giving him the praise. We have to remember, God is our Heavenly Father. He knows what's best for us. And his perspective covers the past, the present, and the future. We only know what's going to happen. We only know what's happening at this moment. And even that is extremely limited. And on top of that, he has guaranteed you eternal life in heaven. I remember Paul, he says, in Romans 8:18, he says, it's not all the sufferings that you go through, you can't even compare them to the glory that is ahead of us. You can't compare it to our glory in heaven. So whatever you're going through can't be compared to the eternal life that God has given you. Good or bad, we must be thankful for everything because we have much to be thankful for. Not only that, God deserves and desires our praise and thanksgiving. If you remember the story of the Israelites, it's a long story. But back in Deuteronomy in chapter 8, they were warned. Moses warned them. He says, hey, when God brings you in this land and he blesses you and gives you all this stuff, you're going to forget Him. You're going to become an ungrateful people. And you'll forget all about God. Oh no, we won't. We submit. We surrender to You. We'll do everything You command us to do. And then in Hosea, it happened. It says, He blessed you. He gave you all these things and you forgot Him. They were no longer grateful. Last week we talked about our practice of consistent Spirit-led prayer. So as you pray today and tomorrow, will your prayers be full of complaints, anxiety, discontentment, a want for more? Or will they be filled with thanksgiving for what God has given you? Do we keep on walking just like these nine other guys and never ever notice what God has done for us? Is your prayer before your meal just a ritual? Or are you truly thankful for God? Or in the back of your mind are you thinking, I provided this meal, I worked for it? Not realizing that God is your provider. If we're going to be a grateful people, we need to start giving thanks. Make it your goal to thank Him every day for your salvation. Every single day, remind yourself of the gospel. Remind yourself of the salvation that you have in Christ and thank Him for it. Every day. That's not too much to ask. God desires that. Make it your goal to thank Him all things, for all things, even the hard things, even the bad things, even this pandemic. Thank God for what He's doing in your life through this time. Adversity always brings about spiritual maturity. Make it your goal to thank Him for the normal things that He has provided you. Make it your goal to thank Him for allowing you to live in this nation. Even though it has its problems, almost all other nations fail in comparison. Seek the Lord this morning. Allow Him to evaluate your life and recognize all the blessings that you have and give Him thanks. He deserves it. He desires that from you. As the worship team comes, let's truly celebrate Thanksgiving today. Let's take some time to think about where we would be without Christ. What if you had responded like these nine men and never received salvation? Think about what you have, not about what you don't have. Think about what it would be like to be like one of those untouchables or these lepers. Ask the Lord to help you be content with where you are and what He's given you. Let's just spend a time as we sing the song. Let's just be thankful to the Lord. Let's show Him how grateful we are. Let's go to the Lord.